suffer from chronic CFED or can't focus energy drain? Try over-the-counter Vibrant. One tablet contains the same caffeine as a cup of coffee, but without the calories or coffee breath. Vibrant. Caffeine, not coffee. Taking Vibrant may result in increased productivity and decreased dread in setting alarms. Unexpected enjoyment of the graveyard shift has been associated with Vibrant. Vibrant may be a better budget option than drinking coffee. It may also decrease the urge to doze off, skip work, or exhibit signs of slacking. All jokes aside, always read the label, take only as directed, and limit caffeine as it may cause real side effects. Not for children under age 12.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Patricia W. Fisher for Readers Entertainment Radio, and it is a very, very happy Thor's Day today because we all know Thor's coming out tonight and tomorrow. So for all of you Avenger and superhero-loving fans, we've got that. But I just want to say before we get started, it is National Adoption Awareness Month, and today is a very special day for my family and I because today is the day we celebrate 6 years since the judge said your adoption is approved, and so it is a really big deal. So if you ever have considered adoption, please get some really solid good information, or you can write to me. But first, now we're going to talk to two really amazing ladies. Sue Ann Schaefer is a retired family practice physician who is now writes these amazing women's fiction books, and Jennifer Klepper is an attorney who is writing her books as well, but they are with Authors 18. So welcome, ladies.
Hello. How are you, Patricia?
We're good. We're good.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So Authors 18 is a new site that you guys have just informed me about not too terribly long ago when we were talking about you having coming on. Jennifer, tell me how the site got started and what was kind of the catalyst to get it going.
Sure. Authors 18 is a group of debut novelists, adult and new adult novels coming out in 2018. And we do have our website. Right now we've got 27 authors featured on the website. We do have other authors in the group who mm-hmm. will be added to the website as the year approaches more quickly here. But mainly it's a place for us to support each other as well as help promote each other's works.
So do you also, I mean, is it only debut authors is what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay. So if somebody writes, this is their first book and they write more, can they come back and be featured again?
Well, what I do see with, there's a group from 2017 called 17 Scribes, mm-hmm. and you do okay. see that they are continuing to promote their authors as they get new book deals. And okay. we already have authors in our group who have gotten new book deals, so that they're already seeing a new series getting picked up. So I know that we're developing really career-long connections within this group, and we'll all be supporting each other down the road.
That's very cool. And you have different heat levels as well, or does it go from all the way to sweet to super saucy?
Well, one thing that's great about the group is we are across all genres. So we do have a lot of romance, and Sue-Ann might have a better idea of the cross-section of that, but we also have literary fiction, we have urban fantasy and women's fiction. So it's very broad-based.
Well, Sue-Ann, let me ask you that. So we've got this really great broad spectrum of authors and subjects. Are we only doing fiction? Or are we doing nonfiction as well?
I think it's only fiction, but I'm not sure. I'm sort of late jumping into the group only a few weeks ago. I wasn't in when the whole thing was organized, but I've been really impressed with everyone's ability to cross-promote and to really get organized. So I'm looking forward to being in the group.
I think that's one thing that – oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Jennifer.
I was going to answer that. Yes, it is fiction. So it is adult novels and new adult novels.
So So not middle grade, not children's.
Correct.
Okay.
And it is focused on traditional publishing. So we don't include any self-published authors.
Okay.
Because a line was drawn when it was originally set up, not for any other reason than that.
Okay. And that can get big very quickly if you're trying to keep it of a more intimate group. You can see a whole lot more people if you have very wide borders.
Yes, and the good thing is there are lots of other great groups out there that do provide these kinds of support for all types of publishing, all types of genres, and I'm involved in another writing organization, which is awesome, and the value is there, and it's just a matter of finding the one that's right, the right fit for you.
So how does one go about becoming part of Authors 18?
An author can find us on Facebook and just send a message and tell us the name of their book, who their publisher is, when it's coming out, and we will invite them in. It's pretty easy.
Okay. Do you have certain requirements regarding how often you need to cross-promote? Is there certain limits regarding Facebook protocol or public PR protocol?
We don't have any strict guidelines. We've never really laid out any rules. I think that you'll probably get as much out of it as you put into it. We certainly have a core group of pretty hardcore volunteers who are really building the structure to support all of this. And then, you know, you see, as in any environment that involves volunteers, you see the ones who kind of rise to the occasion, and we have a really great group of those. And I think those are the ones who really get a lot of promotion and be promoting each other.
Cool.
I agree.
So, Sue Ann, let me ask you, how did you find Authors 18?
I think they found me. I seem to remember I just appeared on this new group, and then I went, wow. So someone who knew me from somewhere else added me to the group. And then there's also a Goodreads list of our authors and the books that are coming out, and you can ask to be added to that. And I just make a point of every time I see someone say, you know, my book has a Goodreads giveaway or something, you know, post it on Facebook, post it on Twitter, and hoping that, you know, everyone will eventually start doing that. We should have massive amount of exposure.
Right, and it's interesting, though, because I think a lot of people, you know, with Nano now this month, a lot of people think the hard work stops when you write the end and your edits are done.
Right.
But I think that this is just a different part of the job now. Whether you're a bestseller or you're a new author, you've got to be out there promoting yourself.
Exactly. I'm finding now, you know, my book, I won a publishing package with this book back in 2016, but the publisher had already filled their 2017 slot for books, so it's not coming out until 2018. So, you know, it's like all of a sudden it's coming out quickly. I'm trying to learn, you know, all the stuff that it takes to get there and get it out. I have been doing things like looking up Larry Mercury's literary agent so I can write them and say, does Larry Mercury read unsolicited manuscripts and give blurbs?
Yeah, well, you never know.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of all this, is the worst you're going to hear is no.
Right.
That's it. Yeah. So always ask. Respectfully.
Right.
I think that's a lot of things that I've noticed, too, for some PR protocol is some people just start adding authors they like to lists or groups. And for anyone listening out there, don't do that. That is bad.
Oh, yes. I keep finding I'm on all these groups and I have no idea where they came from. And, you know, so I just delete myself and don't let them add me back.
Right, right. So, Sue Ann and Jennifer, you both have these amazing, let's say, lives before you became full-time writers. Sue Ann is a retired family practice physician. Jennifer went to law school. You know, we'll start with Jennifer. Tell me how you got into writing.
What's interesting is the number of lawyers who write novels. I had no idea until I wrote one and started discovering we all live these secret lives. And I think it's because we write such bland things in the world of law that a novel gives us an opportunity to be creative and passionate and put emotion and anything we want to say into words. So I think I was always writing. I never wrote fiction until I decided to sit down and write Unbroken Threads, which comes out next year. And if, as a debut author, I think it's sort of cliche, but my main character is a lawyer. And perhaps in my next book there won't be a character who is a lawyer, but when you're writing what you know, a lot of times it's easy to pull from your own profession. So that sort of tied the two together, I guess.
Right. I think for sure the first book, you want to really come out of the you know, the stall guns blazing and, you know, ready to go. And writing something that you really know well is a great way to introduce a lot of people to your style. Sue Ann, tell me how you came about writing, because I know that you did the Stanford the creative writing program, and then you've written some in some multiple magazines. So tell me how you came about writing in the first place.
Well, I had always written in the sense that, you know, one of my first writing projects was the fourth grade travelogue of traveling through Egypt. But I never did anything with it. And at a certain point, I hit nearly 60 years old, and I went, well, you know, I'm going to retire. I need something to do after I retire. And so I started writing, and then I realized how much I didn't know and found the Stanford program online and went, oh, Stanford, it ought to be good. And literally that's how I chose the place. And I was thrilled with the quality of the instruction and the support that not only the professors but my fellow students gave. And so during that time I was working on A Different Kind of Fire, which is my debut novel. And it started out as a romance because I was going to tell the love story of my paternal grandmother and grandfather. And as I did research on the 1890s, I realized that it really, because that was such a period in time where, you know, suffragettes were out and women were really trying to change their lives, that it really needed to be the woman's point of view. So my grandfather became a relatively minor character, and it became a feminist look at 1890. So things change.
Yes, they do. They really do. One of the things that I have found is no matter what your background is, you know, mine's in medicine as well, and, you know, Sue Ann's in medicine, and Jennifer's is in law, but when you get into a field like writing, it doesn't really matter how much you know about the fields that you have. There's so much more. It's like start going to school again to learn over a whole new subject when you're become this writer. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's why it's so important to be a part of a group like Authors 18.
Yeah. And not only that, a critique group to help you sort of fine-tune your work and, you know, help you see the stupid things you've done and to just get really good feedback on what you're doing right as well.
Well, and I think, too, I mean, Jennifer, if you could answer this, do you also have, like, the authors will give feedback on, say, maybe their book cover concerns, or they got a book cover, or their editor concerns, or anything contractual or anything to do with the publisher? Is this also a format where people can come together and say, does this sound right, or does anyone have any feedback on this for me?
We see a lot of that in our – we have a closed Facebook group. And as much promotion as we expect to be doing of each other, I think – right now, the main support is commiserating with each other and letting people ask questions they might not want to ask publicly, and
sure.
give them real answers. And you know, even little things like the publishers will run these book giveaways on Goodreads, which is great because
mm-hmm.
it's a great way to get your book out there and get buzz about your book, and people can get a free copy early. But authors don't know about it until it happens. And so
mm-hmm.
we've recently had a number of people posting, did your publisher tell you they were going to be giving away your books on Goodreads? Because I found out from a blogger. And just to be able to hear other people say that it happened to them too, I think makes people feel like they're not afloat, adrift out there all by themselves.
Right. And I think, it's hard.
Because,
yeah. Oh, go ahead, Sue Ann.
It was just amazing that there was a string of posts on the author's 18 page that all kinds of people were having this problem. It was just like boom, 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 boom. So, you can't count on your publisher communicating with you.
Yeah, and that's, I think, it's a double-edged sword because, you want them to get it out there, but you'd kind of like to know so you can promote it as well. And I think it's one of those things where there's everybody's got the right intention, just everyone's kind of going at it a different way, but nobody's talking to each other.
Right.
Right.
Well just like
with
like,
the oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say, just as you were saying that we have to become experts in all kinds of things as we're writing our book. So Anne became an expert in the late 1800s, and I learned how to file for asylum. In researching my book, we also, as debut authors, have to learn how to be marketers. We have to learn how to be social media experts. We have to, all of these, we have to learn how to be publicists. And there's so many hats we have to wear. And that's why the group is nice, because some of us have strengths in areas that others don't. So we can give that advice or give that boost or help somebody learn how to use a new tool, for instance.
Right. And I think that's a huge, because sometimes, writing's very isolating. Even if you meet with your critique group once a week or once a month and you brainstorm things, it's not always the easiest thing to ask for help.
Yes, and I think because Authors 18 is there with, you can see other people asking similar questions or coming up with ideas that you hadn't even thought of, it's great feedback for you, and it's a very open experience that you can dive in and learn things from other people.
Right. Did you now, Sue Ann, you did all your research with the 1890s, and Jennifer, you've got a law background and learned what you did for your book. Do you also, the same format? Do you say, hey, anybody have any ideas where I can find research on this? Is that also thrown in there as well?
I'm seeing other people ask, do you have any books or any ideas where I can find information on this? In fact, this was on another similar website, Facebook page, but someone was wondering how fast horses travel. And I had just the article. I sent it back on Facebook as an attachment, and she was, oh, this is exactly what I was looking for. I also have really strange things like the sperm count of lions and, just in case you need to know that information.
You may. You just never know. You never know.
You never
know. We're here talking. We're here with talking with authors18.com. If you want to look them up, they're www.authors18.com. They're also on Facebook. I do have the links as well up on our Blog Talk Radio page, talking with Sue Ann Schaefer and Jennifer Klepper, who are members of Authors 18. And so what do you see for the future? What would be your short-term goals for the group and your long-term goals for the group?
Jennifer, you probably have a good idea.
Sure. Short-term, I think that we're just about to the end of the beginning for the group because we have most of the people that we're going to have, and we have the systems in place to do interviews. We'll be running interviews. We'll be sharing these giveaways with our followers. We have a number of different promotional things we'll be doing throughout the year to celebrate book birthdays and other milestones. So I think our short-term goals are getting all of that in place so it's efficient. And then the longer-term goals are going to be to support the launch of all these great books, cheer them on. You know, there could be somebody among us whose book is going to be made into a movie. There going to be people among us who are going to make New York Times bestseller list, and there are those who aren't. You know, it's the reality of the business. Most of them aren't going to be that big. But I think the long-term goal is that all of us will still have that support system going forward. So when books 2, 3, and 4 come out down the road, we'll have these connections, these people we can still go ask questions of. We'll remember that Diane was great at Twitter, or Renee was great at running such and so, and we know we can always go back to those folks. So long term, I think, is that long term network.
I agree.
So will it stay Authors 18? You know, even for years to come, or will you adjust it, or is it, you know, this is where we're starting and this is your base?
You're asking a very interesting question. I hadn't even thought about that piece of it.
throw it out there.
No, I do know that we're starting to learn where everybody is so that we can meet up for events. Folks who are local, we're spread out all over the country and up into Canada. And some folks are going to be, I already have met up with some people at a conference. I'm going to be seeing some more people next spring at a conference. And so I think when we start to get together individually in person, we'll really start to see what we can do together going forward.
Now, it does not cost anything to be part of this group, correct? You just request to join the Facebook group?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. And then, like you said, this is for people with their debut novels, but they will, if they sell more, they don't have to leave the group. They can stay. But you do have a cap, correct?
A cap on?
How many authors in the group?
No.
No. Okay, great. Okay. Mm-hmm. Fabulous. So someone can join anytime in 2018, correct?
Yes. I think that's, you know, less and less likely as we get closer just because of when. I don't know enough about the publishing industry to know how late it will be before, you know, what point in the year there will no longer be a book scheduled for release in 2018. But
sure,
certainly somebody could join if that's the case.
And this is for the big five. It's traditional publishing, but it can be the big five or any of the smaller presses, correct?
Absolutely. We have all of that.
Cool. So tell me, Sue-Ann, I'll start with you. Tell me the best the best bit of writing advice you ever got and the worst.
Oh, the best. Actually, it's probably from Donald Moss. I was at a conference, and he spoke even before his new book came out, the one that's The Emotional Craft of Fiction. And I had a 10-minute appointment with him, but because it was the last one of the day, he spent 45 minutes with me going over my chapter and telling me how to add in more emotion. And then said, well, you've got the chocolate cake, you've got the frosting, all you need is chocolate sprinkles on top. And he meant to add in a deeper emotion. And so it significantly changed the way the book read, because there's no longer any, she sobbed. You know, I try to get a sense of grief or sadness or whatever without saying she burst into tears. So it really changed parts of the book significantly. And I think probably the worst advice is really is to write what you know. Because not everything, you know, if you're writing science fiction, that may not be anything anyone knows. And you just have to go where your emotions will let you go.
Right. Right. So, Jennifer, your best advice and worst advice that you got?
I think the best is to read a lot. And I believe that reading before you start writing is different from reading after you've written a book. I read differently now. And it is improving my own writing. Just being able to appreciate what other writers are doing and try to figure out how they pulled it off is really valuable. And I'll add to that, listening to audiobooks, not just reading a paper book, I think helps with cadence and pacing and that sort of thing as well. So I think that's the best advice. The worst, that's a hard one. I'm not certain, but I will go back to maybe elementary school, junior high, being taught to use lots of adverbs and dialogue tags that you're not supposed to use in novels. You know, when you start adding those in, it does start to sound very juvenile when you have those L-Y words. And I think like Sue Ann was saying, you have to be dealing with that chocolate sprinkles and getting rid of the she sobbed sort of language.
Right, right. And, yeah, I mean, it's interesting how different people can say, well, I write, like you're saying, Jennifer, you write stuff for law, you know, contracts or depositions or what have you, and, you know, Suzanne's written plenty of notes for patient notes. But we get into this different form of writing, and what I found is new writers, especially like, say, technical writers or people who this is what they do all day, they find that that transition to nonfiction or fiction is way different than they thought. So the group should help. So anyone out there, get involved with a writer's group, whether it's Authors 18 or any group that's local, get involved because that will propel you far ahead of what you can do versus working on it on your own.
Exactly.
Yeah. So each of you has a book coming out next year, correct? Sue Ann's got a book that you have, an American physician caught up in the 1994 Rwandan genocide. Wow.
That's coming out in 2019.
Right.
I have a book
that's
coming out in 18 and one in 19, The one coming out next year is one about my grandmother, sort of.
Sorry.
I'm not going to let any of my relatives read it. It's not really my grandmother, but, you know, the basis of the story came from that. But what happened to her as time goes on in the book didn't really happen to my grandmother. And, you know, I'm afraid they will be somewhat offended that I distorted family history. But, you know, it's only fiction.
Right. Right. So do you, we have about a minute left. So, I mean, give us the book that you have read, your very favorite book that you've read more than three times.
Currently I am reading Her Body and Other Parties by Carmen Maria Machado. And it's a collection of her short stories that's up for some big award for a debut book. And it's just fascinating. I read, you know, a short story. You can read one and go to bed, right? I read the entire book and then started it over the next morning.
Oh, wow.
Because
wow.
the stories were so astoundingly original. And her voice was so, you know, it's feminist and funny and sexy and macabre, and it just really sucks you in. So, I mean, I'm starting
that
for my third time in about 2 weeks.
What about you, Jennifer?
I'm listening to Bel Canto right now by Ann Patchett, and it's a book I think I could listen to over and over and over again because her writing style is just so rich and beautiful.
Well, I really appreciate you ladies coming on. I am talking to Sue Ann Schaefer and Jennifer Klepper of Authors 18. If you want to find them online, go to authors18.com, or they're also on Facebook. And thank you again. This is Patricia W. Fisher talking for Readers Entertainment Radio. Keep reading, friends.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.